So let's turn to the New Testament in your Bible. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Appreciate y'all praying for Sherry and I. We escaped from New York a few days ago, or I guess 2 days ago we escaped. And it was actually, we went last Christmas, and when we showed up at the airport, the National Guard was waiting to take our information. No kidding. And this time, that didn't happen. So there was a little more freedom this time, it seemed like, than last time. So apparently, though, that changed just recently, today or yesterday. So the governor is tightening the reins again. So let's go to Mark chapter 11. Forget all that for a minute, right? No fun to think about all that nonsense anyway. Just get you discouraged. So let's go to Mark 11. Let's read the first 10 verses. Mark chapter 11. I want you to really pay attention to a particular animal mentioned here, and we're going to take a look at some lessons that we can learn from that particular animal, and you'll be able to figure it out pretty easy, but just be on the lookout. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Now what's the animal so far? Did you catch it? It's a colt. If you go to the account in Matthew and in Luke, it's the colt, the foal of an ass. More about that in a second. But that's the animal we're looking at here tonight. Verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So what kind of an animal did the Lord ride in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem? What did he ride? He rode, a donkey specifically here, a colt, so it's a baby. Or at least a young one, not necessarily a baby, a young one though. So we're going to take a look at the Lord's colt, because that's what I read about there in that passage. And I'll say a few things about animals in general, and then we'll say some things about colts, and we're going to see something about ourselves tonight in studying the colt. Hopefully we all see something about ourselves. So let's pray together, ask the Lord to help us. Lord God, we come with these words knowing that they are eternal words, knowing that they're not just everyday, ordinary words that we would speak, but what you have said. And I pray that these words are truly living words to us tonight. As we know that they are, but I pray that they would truly come alive to us tonight so that we can make some application in our own lives and that you might use these words to transform us. I pray that we'd all learn something tonight about ourselves and not only just get the things in our mind that we learn, but move us to action. May we all just really see some things that we all need to do here tonight. And we just pray that you would do your spiritual work among us, and we ask that you would be glorified in this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord uses all kinds of different examples in his word to teach us spiritual truth. And I've said this before, other people have said it too, it's not original with me, but God uses the things that you can see, the things that he made, to teach you about the things that you can't see. We're talking about spiritual truth. So let me give you some examples. We were in Rochester, where the sun don't shine. I'm not kidding. Sherry could probably tell you a little more specifics. October, November, December, January, maybe February. The sun don't shine, does it? You don't see the sun. Obviously, there's daylight, but you don't see the sun shining brightly often like you do here in Florida. The sun shines state. So it's dark and dreary and depressing when you go up there, in the wintertime especially. But here's what I noticed. Unlike Florida, a lot of the trees did not have leaves up there. and they look like they're dead. But they're not dead. Now, there's a great spiritual lesson here. They look to be dead. And for a few months, they appear to be dead. But what happens in the springtime? When you get a little more sunlight, new life comes forth from those trees that look like they were dead. You know what the Lord did whenever He put this whole thing into place? In His creation, He showed you and I a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, which provides me and you new life in Jesus Christ. That's God teaching through His creation. We learn also, we have our testimony time here, and you should learn a lot from other people and their testimonies. I know that growing up in church, I learned a whole lot about the power of God from listening to other people's testimonies about what the Lord did for them. And that's why I like Pastor gets honest here about when nobody wants to give a testimony. And the reason why is because God's doing something, and you ought to tell people what God's doing in your life so that they see, yeah, the Lord's power is real. So you can learn a lot from other people, and you ought to learn a lot from other people. We are blessed. I know I'm one of the younger ones here, and I'm blessed to be in a church with people older than me because you have a tendency, and you younger folks, you need to learn this, you have a tendency to learn a whole lot from people older than you. You know why? They got a lot more life experience than you do, so you ought to learn from them. And they ought to be able to tell you a whole lot more about what the Lord's done since they've been around to see Him do a lot of things, or at least they've been saved a while. Okay, so there's God's creation is a great teacher, and then we often teach each other. And speaking of each other, I would say some of the neatest things that have happened since I've been a teacher is children, kids, in my classes teaching me. I think it's one of the neatest things. And you can be in the Scriptures and trying to show kids things in the Scriptures, and they'll raise their hand and say, "Hey, look at this." And I'll say, "Wow, I never seen that before." And I don't get mad as a teacher. I think it's the greatest thing. Because the Lord is showing them something that He hadn't showed me, and I think it's a great thing. And I get to learn from them. That's the way it ought to be. And then, this is where we're going to part tonight. Animals are great teachers, aren't they? So let me tell you a little bit about our two animals that we have at home. And I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just telling you about my animals. We got two cats. One is good, and the other is bad. Let me tell you about our two cats. The good cat loves to be close to me and Sherry. He has a sweet and gentle personality. And you better believe animals have personalities, right? God, to me, that is evidence of God being the creator, that animals have unique personalities, and they're not all the same. And especially these two cats that we have, they're a great contrast. The one is sweet and gentle. He is a monster. He's huge. But he wouldn't hurt anybody or anything. In fact, we often joke about he would be a terrible hunter if he had to hunt for his food, because he tries to trap lizards sometimes whenever he sees them in our little screened-in porch, and he's a miserable hunter. He's terrible. So he doesn't want to hurt anything, it seems like. And he appreciates our company. In fact, we were gone for a few days, and when we came back, he was glad to see us and wanted to be close to us. So that's the good cat. Now let me tell you about the bad cat. We hardly ever see the bad cat. The bad cat hides all the time, unless it's dinner time. And the cat knows the sound of the can opening or the food coming out of the container. And she only wants to be around Sherry or me whenever she's hungry. And she becomes demanding when she's hungry as well. You ever see how animals do that? They demand things of you. They have a way of doing that. She rarely wants to be close to us or allow us to pet her. And she has, unlike the other one, the personality she has is, I'll just say, not friendly. And she has a dominant personality. She's half the size of the other cat, but she runs the house. She oftentimes tells Sherry and I what to do. She just, you know how cats run things. So why am I bringing this up? The Lord gave us those two cats to remind me, and I remind of this often, to remind me of how I can be toward the Lord. I can be like the good cat and always want to be close to the Lord. and want to just be around him and spend time with the Lord. Or I can be like the other cat and only come around when I want something. Now, don't be like that. Don't be the type of Christian where you only come around and ask the Lord for something when you're desperate in need of something. But I'll tell you, those two little animals, the Lord has taught me those lessons, and I'm reminded of that often, of how I can be kind of like one or the other. So we're not talking about cats tonight. I just thought I'd use that as an example. We're talking about colts. And to be specific here, it says there in verse 2, the Lord specifies a colt that's tied up. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 21. Let's get the same account, just slightly different. Matthew 21, you know, you're in your Gospels. You'll see this in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. John doesn't record this. But go over to Matthew 21, and you'll see a little bit more about this. We'll get our points from the Luke, from the Mark passage, but we'll look at a couple things here. Look at verse 2. This is the same account. You'll see it's just a little bit different in what it says, but same account. Verse 2, 21:2 of Matthew. Saying unto them, the Lord talking, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Now, some of you heard me say, or you looked at the page and you saw that word ass, and you thought, oh. And you know what the world has done with Bible vocabulary? They have corrupted it. Now, we all know what that word means, don't we? And it really should not be a bad word. And I'll give you some other words that are Bible words that the world has corrupted. How about the word hell? And the world has taken that word and made it seem like it's not that big of a thing, using it as a curse word. Damnation is a Bible word. You see how the world's taken that as well. So I'm not saying that you should use these words any more often than you already do. I'm just telling you that they're Bible words that should be used in a Bible context the right way. And it's okay to use them in the Bible context. So don't think that the King James translators made a mistake here. The world's just corrupted their vocabulary as time has passed. So notice there it says, an ass tied and a colt with her. All right, so with this in mind, the ass and a colt. So this would be a younger male donkey, we could say, the colt. So go back to your Old Testament, some more on this. And I'll just kind of try to tell you where I'm going here, just by introduction. Go to Job. Go to your Old Testament, Job. Again, just looking at how animals are great teachers. So what could the Lord use that colt of an ass to teach us? Go to Job 11. And you'll see that the words here are going to make it real plain what the Lord's trying to teach us here. Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. Look at verse 12. Very plain. Just take a look at it. Job 11, 12. For vain man would be wise. Now watch it. Though man be born like a wild ass's colt. So what do you think the Lord might be trying to teach us when we study the colt, the foal of an ass? What do you think he might be trying to teach us? About how an unsaved man behaves and how an unsaved man needs to be saved. And I'm trying to show you that here tonight. So real quick, this would be a whole other message, but they say that donkeys, what's the characteristic that comes to mind whenever you think of a donkey? They're very what? Now, would an unsaved person be like that? Would you or me in our flesh be like that? Oh, yeah. You know what else I found out about donkeys? Most of them, not all of them, but most of them are born at night. At night, it's dark. The first time you were born into this world, you were born into this world how, folks? A sinner in need of a Savior. So they also say that donkeys, when they're young, are very, very wild during the night. Now, does that describe an unsaved person or what? By the way, notice that verse right there. It says, born like a wild ass's colt. There used to be a song, well, there still is a song. They stole this right out of the Bible. They didn't even know it. Born to be wild. You don't need to sing the song if you know it. But an unsaved man is truly a wild man, and he needs a Savior. And I say man, you know what I'm saying, I'm a man, woman, child. what I'm referring to. So go over to Exodus 13, and let's put a little pieces together here. Put a little pieces of the puzzle together about what this colt is in need of. Exodus chapter 13. Watch out for number 13 in your Bible, right? It's usually something kind of strange. Genesis 13:13, you find the word sinner mentioned for the first time. And Exodus 13:13, this is very interesting. Take a look at this. 13 is the number of rebellion in your Bible. Exodus 13:13, take a look. And every firstling of an ass, thou shalt what? What is this particular animal that we're looking at here tonight in need of? Redemption. Now, keep going here. It says, thou shalt redeem with what? The only animal that could redeem an ass is a lamb. Isn't that something? Who's the only one that can redeem somebody who is unsaved? The Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:29. John the Baptist saw the Lord and he said, behold, there you go, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So you know what you're like before you're saved? You're like a wild ass's colt. And a lamb is needed, not just any lamb. The lamb is needed for redemption. Are you redeemed? If you say yes, it is the Lamb of God who redeemed you. You had to call on Jesus Christ to redeem you in order to be redeemed, to be saved. Okay, let's go back to Mark chapter 11 here. And what I want to do here is show you how this colt over here in Mark 11 is a picture of an unsaved man. And you'll see how the Lord put this account in the Gospels on purpose to teach us a few things about salvation. So if you're here tonight and you know the Lord, then this ought to be a good reminder of where you were when you were before you were saved and where you are now. Now that you are saved. So look at the first couple of verses there again. Or look at verse 2. And isn't every word of God pure, folks? You're going to see some details given here that are really, really neat. There's some words and phrases that ought to just ring a bell in your mind when we read them. Ought to remind you about something connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's see if you can catch them here. Look at verse 2. The Lord tells these disciples. He said, saith unto them, go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt. And what's the colt? What's it say? It's tied. The Lord put that in there on purpose. That colt is tied up. If it's tied up, it's in bondage, wouldn't you say? And the Lord says to do what with that colt? Loose him. So let's talk about this for a minute. First point here. Loosed from bondage. If you're saved tonight, you have been freed from the bondage of this world. Amen? We were in Exodus a minute ago, and those Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, and they were freed. But you know what the final straw was that actually led the Pharaoh to say, you people, get out of here. It was, you remember? The death of the firstborn. And those Israelites were supposed to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, kill that lamb, take the blood of that lamb, put it on their doorpost, and the Lord passed over to see who had the blood on the doorpost and who didn't. And no blood on the doorpost meant the firstborn in that house was dead. Those who had the blood on their doorpost, you ready for this? Blood on the doorpost, no death. Now the Lord looks down here today and he's not looking for the blood on the doorpost. You could say he's looking for the blood on you. You want to say it like this? The door of your heart. And if you've got the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ there, no death. You say, well, I might end up dying tonight or this week or next month. And you're right. But no eternal death. You got eternal life through the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So, loose from bondage. Go over to Galatians here. Galatians 4. The Lord is in the loosing business. The Lord is in the business of setting people free. You got people living right now. Galatians chapter 4 is where we're going. People right now living in communist countries that have spiritual freedom. You know that? Now, thank the Lord, we just happen to be in a free country. And let's be honest, we got a lot more freedom than lots of folks around the world. Thank God for that freedom. We got a free country, and in Jesus Christ, you've got spiritual freedom. But you know, if I didn't have the physical freedom I have, I would still have the freedom that matters the most through Jesus Christ. So look at Galatians 4, and take a look at verse 3. Just kind of a reminder here, if you're staying tonight, a reminder of where you were at one time. Verse 3, Galatians 4, 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in what? Were in bondage. How so? Under the elements of... Folks, the world has people in bondage and they don't even realize it. They think they're free and they're in bondage because the world tells them how to dress. The world tells them how to talk. The world tells them what they should be interested in. The world tells them how to think. And they really do believe that they're being original with their thoughts and their dress and their words. And you know what? They just stole it from somebody. That's all they did. You think about all the commentators, all the talking heads. When you have conversations with people, they are oftentimes regurgitating something they heard from a talking head, usually on TV, right? That people say, oh, I have my own original thoughts. No, they don't. They're just regurgitating the vomit that they picked up from somewhere. That's all they're doing. And if you've got the Word of God and you're able to say something from God's Word, you're actually saying something that has life and has power. They don't have anything like that. That's what they need. But they don't have that. So the reason why is, here they are. They're tied up in bondage and they need to be set free. But in the condition they're in, they don't oftentimes even realize it. And they need to be set free. So look what else it says. Verse 4. It says they're in bondage of the elements of the world. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Look at verse 5. To do what? Why did Jesus Christ come to this world? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Everybody in this world is either in bondage or they have been redeemed and set free. Which are you? Now, you probably know somebody that's in bondage that needs to be set free. And did you notice here, and this is just a little side note, this whole account in Mark, did you notice that the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ Himself, could have gone and untied that colt Himself? Could He have done that? You know what He could have done? He could have just stayed where He was and had the colt just come to Him. On purpose, He chose two of His disciples to go get that colt and bring him to Him. You know what that's a great picture of? A couple of soul winners. Going out, doing what the Lord said, and bringing somebody in need of salvation to Jesus Christ. I realize it's an animal, but that animal is a picture of an unsaved man, isn't it? So what a great picture we got there. Go over to Luke. The Lord's in the loosing business. Luke chapter 13. And only... I say only Jesus Christ can do what we're about to read about here. Loose someone from bondage. Look at Luke 13. Luke 13, you're going to have this woman that comes to Jesus Christ and she's greatly in need. And notice the wording here, on purpose. I think the Lord did this so we could cross-reference it. Look at Luke 13, verse 10. Luke 13, starting verse 10. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, woman, thou art what? Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her. And what's that next word? That word shows up a bunch in the Gospels, and I like it. The Lord does instantaneous work, doesn't He? Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. There's a great sermon in that with that woman right there. She's loosed. It was immediate work that the Lord did. And what's the first thing that she does after she's loosed? She gives glory to God. You've been loosed? Well, what's the Lord want you to do then? Give Him glory. Give Him praise for doing that work that only He could do. See, the world tries to trick people into thinking that there's other means of being loosed from bondage. Folks, the bondage that this world is wrapped up in, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can set them free. He's the only one. Nobody else can. So I think that's pretty neat there. Go to Luke chapter 2. How about one more here? Luke chapter 2. That word loosed. Luke chapter 2. And here's Peter preaching on Pentecost. And look what he says. Of all the terms he could have used here. Look what he says here. Luke 2:22. I'm sorry. I said Luke. Go to Acts. That's not Peter preaching in Luke. Go to Acts. Luke wrote Acts, but go to Acts chapter 2. My mistake. I didn't think that was right. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, go down to verse 22. And here's Peter preaching on Pentecost. And look what he says here. Luke, good night. Acts 2:22. If you're in Luke, go to Acts. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now watch verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having what? Loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. Notice it says there, loosed the pains of death. If He defeated death, He's the only one that could give anybody else victory over death, right? 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord's in the loosing business. Did you know that? The Lord used two disciples to loose the colt. If you've been loosed, if you've been set free, the Lord wants you to be in the loosing business. There's somebody that might cross your path this week that needs to be set free. The Lord can use you and me to tell them how they can be set free. Now, you can't set them free, but you've got the means by which they can be set free. Amen? So this whole thing here, great picture of salvation. Now, go back to Mark, and I want you to take note of some, again, the words that you pick up here. I believe the Lord put them there on purpose. Little words and phrases that ought to remind you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, this whole thing is a picture. This colt is a picture of an unsaved person and loosed. And we'll get to the second point here in a minute. But real quick here, look at verse 4. Mark 11. Back here in Mark 11, verse 4. Look at what it says here. See if you can pick it up. And they went their way and found the colt tied by, what's the next two words? The door. Does that remind you of anything connected with Jesus Christ? John 10:9, Jesus said, I am, you got it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I think that the Lord put that word there on purpose. It says there's a door there. And notice what the next word is. By the door, what's the next word? Without. Real quick here, let's run this cross-reference. Keep your finger. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Again, it's Sunday night, so we can take a little time here to do a little Bible study. These are the things that connect the dots of the Scriptures to paint the full picture for you and me. And you ought to take the time to do this. And this goes to show you that this is a miraculous book that God gave us. Only the Lord could use these words and phrases that we can connect like this and see that He's trying to teach us something. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse 12. This is talking about before, if you're saved here, before you were saved, look at your condition. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time, you're without who? Notice the wording. Without Christ. What we see over there in Luke, or Mark 11, we saw without, by the door, without. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and, look at that little phrase there, without God, where? In the world. Back to Mark. Mark 11. by the colt is tied, the colt tied by the door without. Isn't that something there? I believe that God's trying to show me and you this colt is a picture of an unsaved person, but look what the Lord does with this colt. Notice what else it says real quick in verse 4. I'll give you the reference here. You can look it up. It says there, the door without. I don't think this is on accident either. I believe this is on purpose. In a place where two ways met. I'll give you the reference. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of... Folks, there is a way, and it leads to death. There is the way, John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and it leads to life. Folks, there's only two ways to go in life. The way of death away from the Lord, the way of life trusting only in the Lord. Amen? If you're saved, did you know every day that I get up, every day you get up, you got two ways to go? I can walk after this world or after my flesh, or I can walk with the Lord. It's a daily choice. Understand, salvation's a one-time choice. But walking after the Spirit instead of the flesh is an all-the-time choice. It's not something you just say in the morning, I'm going to walk with the Lord today, because by the time your caffeine wears off in the afternoon like me, you don't want to walk with the Lord anymore. You want to go to sleep, or you want to get mad at somebody. So I'm telling you, two ways. Only two ways. And notice there, two ways there in verse 4. I think that's pretty neat. Look at the end of verse 4. What did they do with that colt? They loosed him. So let's get to the next point here. They loosed him. What did they do next? It says, verse 5, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as who had commanded? Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. We have no idea who this fellow was or who the people were there that said, what are you doing? But these disciples gave them the answer that the Lord told them to give. And what happened? They're able to get this colt. A whole other message here. But if you are asked questions about the Lord or about the Bible, give people a Bible answer. Give them the answer from the Lord. It works. And if you don't know the answer, it's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll find out. I'll need to check my Bible and get back to you. Because you want to make sure you give people a Bible answer. But isn't it interesting? They give the answer the Lord told them to give, and they're able to continue on in their work. Folks, give people an answer from the Lord. Don't give them what you think. You want people to trust in what the Lord said, not what you said, right? Whole nother message there. But anyway, let's go see what they do next here. We got loosing the colt. People need to be loosed. People in bondage need to be loosed. Let's see what they do next here. Verse 7. First little part of that verse. And they brought the colt to who? Folks, here's point number two. Loose from bondage is number one. Point number two, brought to Jesus. The Lord desires that men come to Him. Let me prove it to you. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Familiar verse, but you probably know it, but turn over there. Matthew 11. The Lord desires that people come to Him. By the way, He doesn't care how old. He doesn't care what they've done as far as sin goes. He does not care what color. Amen. He doesn't care what country you're from. He doesn't care anything about your background at all. You know what the Lord wants? He wants you to go to Him. The Lord gives you an invitation, and I believe this invitation is for everybody. I'm not a Calvinist. I hope you're not either. Because this invitation is open to everybody. Look at 11:28. Matthew 11:28. The Lord talking here. Look what He says here. Come unto who? I think that's an invitation right there. Who's He call? Look at it. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. I would guess there's at least a couple of people here tonight that labor and are heavy laden. Anybody like that? Nobody like that? Notice what the Lord says. He says, hey, if you labor and are heavy laden, that means you're carrying a big load. Look what he says there. And I will give you what? Amen. Folks, I believe that is an invitation to anybody and everybody. And there's only one individual who could give anybody and everybody real rest. And you know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One man, not any ordinary man, God in the flesh, can give rest to any man. Amen? So then he goes on there. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls. You know what this world needs? They need rest because their souls are restless. Just going and going and going and trying to fill this void with something. They know they need something, but they keep filling it with the wrong things. They need the Lord Jesus Christ to give them the rest that they need there. The Lord wants people to come to Him. Look what happens when the most unusual things are brought to Jesus. This is really neat. Go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Look what happens when people bring things, not just people. Obviously, the Lord can do miraculous works with people. But look what happens when they bring something to Jesus. Look what He's able to do with something that seems so insignificant. Look at Matthew 14. Now, you've seen this before, but look at it in the light that we're putting everything together with tonight. Look at verse 15. Matthew 14. Look at verse 15. 14:15. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them, what's it say? To eat. So look what the disciples say. And they say unto Him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All right, you got a lot of people there. You find out later it's a few thousand people. What are 5 loaves and 2 fishes going to do for that many people? Look at the next verse, verse 18. Jesus talking. He said, bring them hither to me. So what did they bring to Him? 5 loaves, 2 fishes in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what happens here. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did, what's that next word? All eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Now, I don't even know how you get 5 loaves. You put a loaf in a basket, that's 5. You put a fish in each basket, that's 7 baskets. Where in the world did they get 12 baskets? When the loaves and fishes are brought to the Lord, He's able to do with those loaves and fishes what nobody else could do. When you or me or anybody goes to the Lord, trusting only in what He can do, He's able to do with any individual what only He can do. I mean, think about it. In the Bible, you know who God uses, who Jesus uses a few times to teach great lessons? Children. Because children in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord can do something with them. Amen? You or me, in the hand of the Savior, Jesus Christ, He can do something with us. And it's only something that He could do with us. We could never do it ourselves. How about one more here? Go to Matthew 17. When you bring things to Jesus, He's able to do miraculous work. Look at this one. Matthew 17, 14. Now here's an actual individual brought to Jesus. Look at Matthew 17, 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. Now watch this. And I brought him to who? Okay, so they brought this boy, this son of this man, to the disciples. I brought him to thy disciples, and they what? Hey, you and I can't do the work that the Lord can do. Only the Lord can do the work that the Lord can do. So look what happens here. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Look what He says here. Bring him hither to me. Now watch the next verse. And Jesus rebuked the devil, And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ can do the miraculous work that you and I could never do. Don't point people to another man. Point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Men are going to disappoint you. You figure that this fella heard about the disciples. Oh, they've got the power. So he brings them to the disciples. You figure he was pretty disappointed when these disciples couldn't do anything. But who was able to do what the disciples couldn't do? The Lord Jesus Christ. When people are brought to Jesus Christ, miracles can happen. Good evidence right there. Go back to Mark. Let's get this last thing here. So, loose from bondage, brought to Jesus. How about this last thing? This is a fun one here. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 7. They bring this colt to Jesus Christ, and oh boy, look what happens here. This colt becomes the most famous colt in the history of mankind. You say, how come? Well, let's read about it. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus. And watch this. Look what they do with the colt. And cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. All right, so here he is riding this colt. Verse 9, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Folks, what is Jesus writing as they're saying that? This very animal that he told these disciples, loose him, bring him to me. Now here's some fun stuff here. This colt ends up being part of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I mean, a seemingly insignificant animal becomes a big part of Bible prophecy. Let me show it to you. Go to Zechariah. You know that book that we hardly ever turn to because there's a lot of weird stuff there. Hey, this is neat though. I say weird. It's just stuff that I don't understand. It's just haven't got light on a lot of this yet. Zechariah 9. I tell you though, when you read these Old Testament minor prophets, particularly as the days pass, things become a little more clear. The closer we get to the Lord coming back. So it's really neat. The Lord gives us more light the closer we get to the rapture. Have y'all noticed that? Hopefully you've been saved for a while. You've noticed that the Lord's giving a little more light on things. All right, Zechariah 9. Yeah, Zechariah and then Malachi. You're right towards the end of your Old Testament. And look at this prophecy here by Zechariah. The date I've got in my Bible, it may not be accurate, but it's got to be fairly close. 533 B.C. So some 500 years before the Lord shows up here, before He's born in Bethlehem. Look at what's prophesied. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Lowly, now watch this, and riding upon an ass and upon a what? A colt, the foal of an ass. Folks, what we just read about in Mark was the fulfillment of the prophecy back over here in Zechariah. Of all things, the Lord used that particular animal to take a ride into Jerusalem. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, hold on a second. It says, thy king cometh. Folks, what kind of animals do kings ride? Come on. What do they ride? They ride horses. Kings ride horses. What's the Lord Jesus Christ riding when he goes into Jerusalem? I need to specify for the first time. What's he riding? And notice it says meek and lowly, because the first time he came to this earth, he came to humble himself. He came to be obedient unto death, the death of the cross. When he comes back the second time, I won't go over there, but you can look at it this week. Revelation 19, he's not riding a colt. The first time he came in his humility. The second time he's coming in his kingdom and his glory and power. And he's riding a white horse. Oh, it's not the Lone Ranger. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming to conquer. See, when he came here the first time into Jerusalem, he wasn't coming to conquer. He was coming to pay the price for our sins. And I just think it's amazing that animal, that colt, is used by the Lord Jesus Christ to picture what the Lord, only the Lord can do with somebody who comes to him, who's set free, who comes to him. The last thing I got here is, this last point is fulfilling God's will. Isn't it interesting how God wants to use people like us right here? And you know, I look around here and we got some people here. I'm one of them with a past that is messed up. We could all tell some stories that we shouldn't tell about the past and where we were. And in spite of that, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, He can still use people like us. Amen. Only He can do that. I mean, here is an animal, a seemingly insignificant animal, and it's the very animal that the Lord says, hey, set that thing free. Hey, bring him to me. Hey, I'm going to ride him. By the way, did you notice there had never man, that little detail in Mark, no man had ever sat on this colt before. You know who the first man to sat on the colt was? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's riding this animal that's supposed to be a wild animal. But I believe that animal was in complete control of the Lord Jesus Christ as he rode him. You know what that's a picture of? That colt may have been wild before, but not anymore. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to take somebody who's wild and crazy and transform them so they can be used by Him. Amen? Aren't you glad the Lord's in the transformation business? Man, all right, last place here. Go to Isaiah 61. Did you notice that they put garments on this particular colt? Isaiah 61, we'll close it out here. They put garments on this particular colt. That thing had, you think that's kind of weird. They put garments on the colt. Animals don't need clothes. Animals don't wear clothes. But this animal's got garments on. What a great picture the Lord's given for me and you. Take a look at this. Isaiah 61. Look at verse 10. Isaiah 61, 10. I will greatly rejoice in who? The Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Watch it. For He hath what? He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Keep going. He hath covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Folks, that colt, no clothing had ever been on that colt. No man had ever ridden that colt. But the person that's riding that colt is salvation. Notice in that verse. The person riding that colt is righteousness personified. Hey, what are you clothed with if you're saved tonight? What do you got? What are you clothed with, folks? The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that whole thing. Whole transformation process. What an adventure that colt had. That colt was just tied up. Nobody really cared. And then the Lord says, loose him. Bring him to me, and then that colt is used by the Lord Jesus Christ to bring to pass His will. He's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You know what the Lord wants to do with you and me this week? He wants to use us to fulfill His will. Over there in Romans 12, it says He wants to transform us that we may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God doesn't want to transform you so you can sit there and say, hey, I'm transformed. He wants to use you so that His will can be accomplished in you and through you. Isn't that something? How's it with you tonight? I'll ask you a few questions here, and you don't need to answer out loud, but this is just between you and God. Have you been set free from the bondage of this world, set free from the bondage of sin? Is that you? That colt, that little animal that God uses here, what a picture of what God has done, what God makes available through Jesus Christ, to be set free from this stinking world. Are you sick of this world yet? No, nobody's sick of the world? I tell you, the older I get, the more sick I get of it. This world doesn't offer you and me anything worthwhile. And everything it throws right in front of you, it's only good for a short time, and then it's gone. Nothing to offer. Second question I'll ask you. Have you accepted the invitation to come to Jesus?
They brought that cult to Jesus. And some of you might say, I've been saved a long time. You know the Lord wants you and me to come to Him often. Thank you, Miss Diana. Not just a one-time deal. It's often. In fact, you're not going to be able, and I'm not going to be able to do His will if I don't go to Him often, so I can fulfill His will. Last thing, have you yielded yourself to be used by God? Like that colt there, greatly used by the Lord. Or are you too interested in doing what you want to do? Boy, we can get off on that one for a while. We all have our own thing that we want to do, don't we? How about what the Lord wants us to do? Prayer every day ought to be, order my steps in Thy Word, O Lord, so that You can perform His will instead of our own will. Let's bow our heads here tonight. Lord, thank You so much for Your words and how they are always applicable. And there's so much to the little passage we read there, just a few verses there, and just absolutely loaded with truth. We sure thank You for the riches, the good food we're able to eat from Your Word tonight, the manna from heaven that You've given us. I pray that we would be mindful of what You have done for us and what You want to do with us throughout this week. And I pray that we would go out of here tonight an army ready to follow Your leading and to be greatly used by You and perform Your will for our lives. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.